Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
The whole thing.
This is a new song to me.
Well, listen to it.
I've never heard it before.
It's by those guys right there.
Enough's enough.
Enough's enough.
Yes, enough.
Enough's enough.
I've had enough.
Enough's enough.
Interesting.
Yeah. They're a band out of Chicago.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll talk about more about them a little bit later. But, yeah, great song. Great song. So, but good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of you.
We made it.
Yes, we did. In the room today, I got Steve Silva.
Yes, I do.
I got Amber Ashby-Carey.
Hey, everybody.
I got producer Zach.
I got hello.
And I am your host, Sean Roberts. Together, we are your Weekly Dose podcast. As always, we're streaming to you live from Orange County and every Saturday morning.
That's us. That is us. Thank you guys so much for joining us today and every Saturday as we pay homage to our favorite radio gods. I was making my tea, you guys. Mark and Brian, we hope to get them in the Radio Hall of Fame this summer. Just remember to follow Mark and Brian, R-H-O-F, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can see how you can help them get into the Radio Hall of Fame with us.
And as always,
we're not going to be in it, but we're trying to get them, and you should help us get them in there. That's what I was trying to say.
And for those who have recently followed us, thank you so much for joining the family. It's always good to have people here listening to what we say. We're so glad when you listen
to
our show.
And I saw our numbers. We have jumped up to 783 followers. On Facebook. So very, very glad. Just now, switch over to Instagram. Switch over to Twitter and everything. And then, damn it, download the show. That's what we need.
Really.
Well, we got a big show for you guys today. We'll be talking about the Iowa caucus. We're talking about also the passing of Kirk Douglas and Orson Bean. He just passed last night, I guess.
Yeah.
Tragically. The Super Bowl, National Pizza Day, and, of course, the Oscars. What we think about them, our favorite picks and everything. We also got Tinseltown Spotlight. And also around 10:30 today, we'll also be talking to our friend Stacey Lane Wilson and the film that she's done about her father, Mr. Don Wilson, one of the last surviving members of the band The Ventures.
That's right. Now, don't forget you can interact with the show.
I'm
precursoring a little bit later.
Yeah, you are.
Have some tea.
Commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Find us on Facebook or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Yes. And not only can you download the show for free from our website, but you can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Click, clickety, click, click, click. Just all the things. Just search for Your Weekly Dose across all those platforms. And most importantly, do not forget, please, to rate and review us.
Absolutely. Of course, today's theme song was called Hollywood Ya by Enough's Enough. If you guys aren't too familiar with them, kind of like Amber is.
Yes, very nice.
They're a band out of Chicago, Illinois, down there in Blue Island section of the Windy City.
Illinois.
As opposed to Chicago, New Hampshire.
As opposed to Illinois.
Or that, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and like,
some people from there actually do say Illinois.
They do.
Yeah, weird.
But
weird.
If you are a huge band of the Beatles and Cheap Trick, that's where this band kind of comes from. Very Beatle-esque, very Cheap Trick-esque. Donnie V, who's the lead singer of this, to me, he's like a reincarnation of John Lennon kind of a thing. He writes in that format and everything. So if you really like the Beatles, you'll definitely dig Enough's Enough.
Oh, Beatles, they're from Liverpool.
They're from Liverpool, yeah. But these guys are from Chicago with the Chicago attitude and everything.
It's the Windy City, Paul.
It is.
And Sean, I lived in Chicago.
I know you have.
Really?
But not on the south side.
Joliet, that's pretty south.
That's way south. That's further south than Blue Island, though. Yeah, that's where these guys are from. And they've been friends of mine for a number of years, too. So I've known Chip and Donnie and Monaco for, God, I think at least 20-plus years now, I think. Ooh. It is. So, and matter of fact, Chip's been on the show and got to interview him a while back when he was out here. And they were actually out here recently, too. I didn't get a chance to say hello, though, but they were, I think it was around New Year's Eve or so. They were they played the whiskey. So,
oh, cool.
Which is kind of nice. Yeah, yeah.
I love whiskey.
So
the whiskey-a-go-go.
Mm-hmm. They got good whiskey there, too, though. So, but if you haven't had a chance, check them out. Great band. You know, you can get all of their music on our on Amazon, of course. Just look for Enough's Enough. It's E-N-U-F-F, Z-N-U-F-F.
Z-Enough.
Z-Enough.
That's my new word, Z-Enough.
Yeah.
I've had enough of that.
Exactly.
Exactly. So you guys know what we should do? We should talk about Amazon.
Why don't we do that?
Yes. Nowadays, more and more people are shopping online, and I do. Everything online. I'm so sick of going to stores. And there's no better place to do that than... You should say it how you say it. You should be like, Amazon.
That's right, Amber. They have everything, so get what you want by shopping on Amazon. Just remember to use our banner.
That's right. All you need to do is go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on our Amazon banner, and bookmark it. That way, every time you want to shop on Amazon, you use the bookmark link, and by doing so, you help the show stay on the air.
And plus, you get all your shopping done with no big crowds. Or if you're like me and have trouble getting out to do your shopping, Amazon is there to help you out. They even deliver your groceries for you.
Yes. So if you're going to do all your shopping online, there's only one place to do it. Go to our site, yourweeklydose.com, and use our banner to get the job done.
And remember, when you use our banner to get the job done, you help support the show. Amazon, work hard, have fun, make history.
Yes.
There you go. All right. But no, ta-da.
Love Amazon.
No. Where's the ta-da?
Oh, it's right here.
Ta-da!
I used it on Amber already, though.
Yeah.
That's the ending of the whole thing.
I didn't want to use it twice. That's why I figured do it.
No, that sounds distorted and blah, blah, blah.
That's
what you get for thinking about me, Zach.
Yeah.
You know I appreciate you, though.
But you know what we should do, though?
Oh, good.
What should we do?
Let's catch up with each other.
Oh, I love this part.
Zach, go first.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Get your complaining out of the way.
Did I draw the short straw again?
I mean again. Always.
Yeah, that's what I meant by again. Always.
You wear it like a little necklace around your neck.
Oh, that'd be a great birthday gift for him.
Don't. No.
Get him like a little necklace?
No.
With like a little straw.
I will flush it.
And have it be like real short.
I don't want anyone to infer it as a drug abuse issue, though.
No, exactly.
Yeah, because that would be weird.
Make it really short.
Tell us about your week, Zachary.
How was your week, buddy?
Eventful. Well, after the show last week, I left to drive up to, I guess it's West Hollywood, and met with our friend Quentin Flynn. Had lunch with them. Nice little restaurant we went to, too. And I hung out there for like 3 hours and just talked voiceover stuff and, you know, all kinds of fun stuff. And, you know, me and him, we're chums now. We're real buds. So he is taking it upon himself to kind of mentor me. And grew me into the little voiceover actor that I would like to be. And then Monday night, we went to Flappers and watched him and, you know, a nice little plethora of voice actors do their handed stand-up. And that was fun.
Was Carlos there?
No, he actually was going to be there, but he double-booked himself.
Okay.
And he had to drop Flappers and go do the other thing.
That bastard.
But I got to meet a lot of new people that I've always wanted to meet. Two of them is Richard Horvitz, who is Invader Zim, and also Jonan Vasquez, who's the creator of Invader Zim. And Ricky Simmons, who plays the voice of Gurr, which Amber.
Oh. Yeah. I'm so bummed I missed this one.
Well, who's the guy who plays the voice of R?
So Amber, you're bummed you missed it, and
I'm bummed I missed it.
It was a small turnout.
Was it?
It was very small.
Aww.
Yeah, I think just because it wasn't them doing the improv show like they did last time. They were individually doing stand up.
The improv thing is amazing.
That's
you
the
guys
best.
Need
oh
to
yeah,
go do that. You know,
but,
I love.
But who does the voice of Roar?
Amber, go on.
Yeah, they think they're funny.
I know.
But there is a character wrong.
They laugh at themselves.
That's R-A-W-R.
You know, you get two different shows in here.
Anime characters.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
But a lot of them did. Quentin did stand up. He was great. There was a couple of them where you kind of watch and went, probably shouldn't do stand up.
They're just having fun. Not everyone's good at stand up. Everyone should just try stand up sometime.
I know, actually, I kind of want to.
People always think they're funny, and then they do that, and you're like,
It is the most difficult. I've tried it. It is the most difficult thing to do, and no.
I got in trouble when I did mine.
I've never done it, not even once, but if history's taught me anything from this show, I probably won't be funny.
Now, you also had a conversation after with Quentin, did you not?
Yes, I did.
How did that go?
It went great.
Cool.
There's a joke here.
He didn't tell you?
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for. I know there's a punchline.
No, there's no punchline.
There's not?
No, he didn't tell you?
Oh, yeah. No, I forgot. I'm sorry. He called Sean trying to get a hold of me. For some reason, the number that I gave him to call in when he was going to, he thought that was my number. I don't know why. So he dialed it and got Sean trying to find me. And he just said that you guys talked about me for a little bit. He didn't say what.
He called, you know, our bat phone line, basically. And, you know, because that's, I think, it's associating Zach with a show, you know. So he goes, oh, this must be Zach's phone number. Not realizing, you know, it was, you know, actually my cell phone number.
Which is funny because he's texting me, like, on my number.
And we talked about that. And we talked about that, too, which was hysterical, you know. And we talked for, like an hour and a half, an hour 45.
Was it that long?
Yeah, we did.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a great conversation, you know. And I said it privately with him, and I'll say it publicly now.
Oh, boy.
No. I thanked him for doing what he's doing and taking you under wing.
It's so cool.
Because knowing your history and your background and everything, not that it was a rough life, but you've had a few rough edges here and there. And for somebody who still has a passion, your heart's in the right place, and he recognizes that, and to help mold and shape you to be a professional voiceover person, I was very happy that he is doing that for you and taking you under wing, because I told him, I said, bottom line, I said, he definitely needs the guidance because it's difficult, you know.
It is a hard industry.
And, you know, and I kept pushing Zach to go, look, dude, you've met so-and-so, it doesn't hurt to call and ask.
And I just did it. I just said, the hell with it. I'm just going to ask, and I did.
Yeah, and, you know, the worst they can say is no, or, you know, hey, I'm busy. And it might take 6 months, but at least they'll get to it. And that's exactly what's happened with Quentin.
And he's funny too, because I kind of told him, can I drop the etiquette of, like, being like, text you one time and then wait like 2 weeks to respond back, or can I actually talk to you like friends? And he's all, of course. I was wondering when you were going to stop doing that.
So, there you go.
Oh wow, I just got really quiet.
So no, but you
he's going to regret that one.
Nah.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
But no, you got a good friend in him, and like I said, he and I discussed it, and I'm so happy he's taking you under wing. You know, I really am. And I know you've got...
I couldn't have picked a better one, honestly.
Yeah, and you got good people in your corner still. I mean, you still have Carlos in your corner.
And Steve.
You still got Steve in your corner. You still got Brock in your corner.
Of course.
You know, and then...
And
of
Mickey,
course,
apparently.
And when the time comes, don't forget, you've got Dan and Swampy.
That's true. I just, Swampy doesn't really know me.
Well, again, it's networking on your own.
I'll get around.
Give,
you know,
give
you
it gotta, some time.
You got to put your big boy pants
he'll
on.
He'll know me.
And get to know you. And like I said, the more we do those things with Swampy, he'll get to know you. You know, and it's just a matter of just...
Wow, he hasn't done those in a long time, I just
realized.
Well,
we haven't gone either, though.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I thought maybe...
This is fantastic catching up.
He's done a couple of different things, but he's... we haven't gone, though, basically, so...
I just wait for you to, you know, sound the alarm, and, you know, we'll go.
Whee!
Not that alarm.
Okay. Amber, how was your week?
Boop, boop, boop! Da, 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 da.
Yeah, because she can't go, oh, see, anymore, so...
Oh,
you know.
See! No, I do not go, LB. No? You just make faces at me. Make me.
I don't make faces. I just look at you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't.
I know what those eyes are saying.
Uh-huh.
Judgy McJudgerson. That's what you do.
Yep. Because I'm going, wow, she's really white.
Judgy. I am. Judgy McJudgerson.
Glass of milk with hair.
I'm naming, I think I'm going to. Oh, God. Thank you. Let me have a sip of tea here. Hang on. It was fantastic. It was a busy week. Everything up and down. I'll say this. I had a great
Go ahead,
my, my kids last night, teenagers. It's a very interesting thing when they're starting to transition to this teenhood thing, and it's fun. We had a great night out, me and them, and with their mm-hmm. friends. My brain was broken by the end of the night listening to all of them. But besides that, I went and saw Tina. This week.
Oh, yeah, she told me that.
Yes, I saw Tina.
What was your take on that? How did you enjoy that?
I adore her. I just want to give her a big hug. She's like, she's like a mama. Mm-hmm. And she's just, the spiritual thing is just amazing, you know, the insight. But just, she has a lot of wisdom, a lot of life wisdom, you know, that she brings to the table and lots of just good stuff.
And who we're talking about basically is our spiritual guide, Tina Anderson,
yes.
Who's part of our show and helps us with our... horoscopes every month and everything. So
yeah,
so I mean, I've visited her a couple of times already. Zach went for the first time, mm-hmm. you know, and now you've gone for the first time.
And it was fun. You know, we talked about me, obviously. We talked about her as well and got a little insight on Tina. And then we had a good little chunk of talk about like spirituality and so that's Tina was fantastic.
Nice. I'm glad you enjoyed it though. I really am.
I did. She's amazing.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Steve, how was your week, bud?
Me? Well. It was great. We went to the Coach House last Saturday night.
Yes, we did.
We saw, Missing Persons.
Yes. Wow.
And I got to tell you, in all honesty, some of the vocalists left a lot to be desired, but over all three groups we saw, the musicians were incredible.
Yeah.
They were all just phenomenal. Just, I'd like to just sit and listen to them play. They don't need a singer.
Yeah.
Just play. So
the first band that we saw, was it Gunboat?
Gunboat.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, I had a good time. It was fun. The dinner show's a little pricey.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna bitch right now about the Coach House because I've played there numerous times myself. And before, it always seemed like they had a nicer menu, a little bit bigger menu to have. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, I mean, the waitress staff there and everything was really nice. They've always been good. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, this time around, the food was kind of eh.
Hmm.
I ordered the teriyaki chicken, and it was basically, it was a nice size of chicken, but I think it was like dumped in hot water and cooked that way.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel.
Boiled
and just
chicken?
Sauce poured over it.
And yeah, and like a teriyaki sauce from Vaughn's and poured over it,
oh,
and a slice of a ring pineapple just put on top.
Oh.
It came with string beans, which looked fresh, which didn't look bad, but the rice was like out of like a scooper from an ice cream scoop,
mm-hmm.
and it held that formed, and it didn't even look like rice. It looked like mush.
Hmm.
It tasted like mush.
I would have sent it back. I would have been done.
You know, I was very disappointed, you know, in the dinner and everything. I'm going, shit, I could have done this at home.
Sounds like really shitty catering.
Especially when they are, no matter what you do, going to charge you $15 for dinner on top of tickets and drinks.
And the alcohol itself.
Yeah. And there's not everything on the menu costs $15. So in order to make it up, you have to buy a couple of things. And it's like, it was just kind of like... You know, if you're going to do something like that, just have a menu without prices and have like three or four good select things and charge $15 for each dinner and just say you need to buy a dinner as well as a couple of drinks. Huh. It'd be a lot, I don't know, nicer.
Yeah. This is the first time I was really disappointed in the Coach House. And like I said, I've played there at least a dozen times, you know. And but yeah, I was very disappointed.
I'm not hungry anymore after that meal description.
Yeah, it wasn't. Mm-hmm, yeah,
so really enjoyed the music, and then the next day I came over here and
yes,
watched
you did.
The Super Bowl. So that was my I just stayed at home most of the week after that, just relaxing and on. I can't remember what day it was. Monday. Oh, it was Monday.
Comes after Sunday.
My friend Robin was in town over the weekend for his thing down in San Juan Capistrano at the El Camino Real Playhouse.
Oh, my goodness.
Her and another friend of mine went to Disneyland Monday morning. And why are you doing that?
This is going downhill quick. He's going to say something.
I have no idea what that means.
He's going to say something sexual right now.
No.
This is going great.
Keep going, Steve.
No, I want to get the humor of that. It's not working. Okay, anyway, the Rise of the Resistance is open.
Yes, it was.
Okay, now it's starting to dawn on me. I had nothing to do with it, so I couldn't have done anything anyway. Anyway, I was supposed to meet them for drinks in the afternoon and then have some dinner. And then go home. And that was what I expected. When I got there at like 3 something, they had this big story about how they had gotten there at like 8 in the morning and were there inside the park when the park opened and got into the virtual line for the Rise of Resistance. And as it all worked out, a couple of people left, so they had a spot for me to go see it. And I was like, oh, well, okay. And I have to hang around because it was a later number, like 104.
Right.
And it wasn't even a guarantee that they would get to that. Well, they did, like, sometime around 7:45 or so. And so we went and saw it, and I had to walk all the way over there. That's another story.
Good for you.
Not a lot of things have impressed me that Disney's done as much as that did.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. It's hard to describe because it's more than just you go in and you ride and you leave. It's like the whole process. You kind of stand in line going, where are we going? Where are we going? And then you go into one thing and you do this. Then you go into another thing and see this. Then you go somewhere else and you do this. And then you...
What the hell are we talking about right now?
The new ride at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's freaking on that one. I don't know what the deal is.
It's amazing. It has nothing to do with any particular kind of ride. It's like a complete process of different things that happen to you. And at one point, you're in one of the First Order ships, and it's very quiet and subdued, and they're walking around, and they've got you lined up in certain places, and you have to stand in those places, and it was actually almost an uncomfortable feeling, which just fit
right in.
Which
is what it should be, yeah.
Yeah, and then we were able to escape from that ship, and there were some surprises, but the ride is really bizarre, because there's no track. You're not. It's like it's just moving around in different places. You go into a place. Whoa, back out of there! Like you went to the wrong place and around. And there's all.
So you're
these,
sitting in a car. You're sitting in a moving.
It's a moving vehicle.
Yeah.
Very loosely, like Indiana Jones.
Okay. Okay.
Where you're going around, but Indiana Jones follows a track, and it one after the other. The other cars were like right next to us, and then suddenly they go this way, and we go that way, and so it was a lot of fun. And I recommend finding a way to get on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to find my own way
I'll
on
live
it too, Steve.
I'll live vicariously.
You can come anytime you want.
I know, buddy. I love giving you a hard time.
I know. You'd rather give me a hard time than go and experience it.
He was posting pictures, whatever. So I'm like, what? You son of a.
You're jealous of that.
Very jealous that he got
to
go on it.
It's expensive to get in there. When you have friends that can get you in there, you need to take it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? Right now on the phone, we have a friend of ours, Stacey Lane Wilson. She is a writer, a director. The do-it-all person that we love the most and everything. And she has a new film out regarding her father, Don Wilson, one of the founding members, matter of fact, the last founding member of the Ventures. And so, hello, Stacey.
Hey, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
There she is.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. It's been a long time since you've been with us.
Gosh, has it been more than a year? I think it has.
I think so. I think it has.
Well, I still consider myself a friend of the program.
Absolutely. You are definitely. There's no doubt about that. So tell us about this new film that is finally out. I'm so excited.
I know. Well, it's about 3 years in the making. It is the very first documentary about the Ventures, which is kind of surprising considering the band's history and the fact that they are 60 years old, celebrating their 60th anniversary. So I'm really happy to be the first one to kind of tell their story in a feature-length documentary film. And, it's coming out next week in a film festival, and we'll be, taking it all around the world in film festivals. And then the goal, of course, is to get DVD and streaming rights and then show it to everybody.
Awesome.
Yay.
This is gonna be good. And now, I mean, obviously there's so many different documentaries that have been out there, Stacey, regarding just bands in general. And of course, VH1 did have that short series Behind the Music and everything. What are we gonna see in this documentary about the Ventures?
Well, it's not exactly Behind the Music. It's not, a kind of a dirt digging exercise, but, right. Which I love. I mean, I love that too. That's fun, but there's really not, it's kind of hard to tell the venture story actually, like in a way, because there is no dirt. So you have to be inventive and come up with interesting and entertaining ways to kind of educate and entertain. That is, pretty much what the flavor of the movie is, that people are finding it who've seen it are finding it fun and funny, and they're also learning a lot. So that was really what I set out to do, and seems like mission accomplished. I know, Sean, you'll be seeing it next week, so
yes,
you'll have to let
I will
me know
be there.
What you think.
Absolutely. Now, you also got to interview a number of artists for this and everything. Tell us about some of those experiences on those interviews.
Oh, I sure did. Yes. Well, Billy Bob Thornton has been a huge fan of the Ventures for years and years. And I actually met him, maybe more than a decade ago when I was a red carpet reporter. And I happened to mention, that my dad is in the Ventures. And he's like, oh, my God, the Ventures. Your dad is Don Wilson. When can I meet him? So, we kind of became acquaintances through that. And he wound up reaching out to my dad and doing an album with the Ventures years ago. So I was able to get him, he was happy to talk about the Ventures. So he's probably our biggest name in the movie. But we've also got Jimmy Page and John Fogerty, who presented the Ventures with their Rock and Roll Hall of Fame trophy about 10 years ago. And we've got Marky Ramone and Randy Bachman, Jeff Baxter, Wayne Kramer, Josie Cotton. So we got a really great, I think, overview of different types of musicians, from hard rock to rockabilly to even a classical pianist, Lalo Schifrin, who wrote the Mission Impossible theme that the Ventures covered. So I really, really tried to be as far-reaching as I could in terms of finding interviewees with different perspectives about the same subject.
And what was your father's reaction to some of the interviews and the influences that he's had on these other great artists?
Well, it's interesting to see them all collected in one place. I was actually able to show him a pretty good cut of the film about 6 months ago. He lives in Seattle area and I live in LA. So I went up to visit him and showed him the movie on his big screen TV, and he was really, really, you know, happy with it. And of course, you know, he's, you know, the person, the biggest critic, I guess you could say, on his, you know, I mean, someone else presenting your life story, even if it is your daughter, is something I'm sure that's something to really take into consideration. But he was really impressed with it, and he loved, we have animation in it to kind of recreate some of the memories that he shared on film.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
He loved all that. And so, yeah, I was really, really relieved and happy that he approves, because he is, you know, obviously the number one person who needs to like this movie.
Right, exactly. So was your dad surprised, though, on how many people that the band has influenced, though?
You know, I think he knew that, just because over the years, so many musicians have come up to him and told him how much they love the Ventures or how the Ventures have influenced him. I mean, it's always kind of a little bit of a surprise, like when Billy Joel comes up and says, oh, you know, the first song I learned to play on the piano was Walk, Don't Run, or Anthrax thanking the Ventures in their liner notes. It's like, wow,
God.
You can really get more diverse.
Yeah, and that's the thing I think that amazes me, that, I mean, even for us as musicians, you know, we do listen to everything, even though we may play a certain genre like Anthrax, you know, is more of a hard thrash metal. But mm-hmm. then when you got somebody like Billy Joel, you know, or you know, Jeff Baxter from the Doobie Brothers coming up and saying that he was influenced by your dad, too. I mean, it's just the plethora and the wide range of scope that all these musicians have been touched by your dad, you know, a guy from Seattle who ended up being one of the frontiers of surf rock. You know.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I learned a lot, too, in making the film. Of course, I grew up with the Ventures and everything. But, you know, as a kid, you know, your parents are just your parents, and you don't really think much of their accomplishments until you really kind of look back and you're like, oh my God, this is really impressive. And I'm so proud to be able to share that with the world, because although the Ventures are certainly, they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and they have many gold, red, and platinum records, but they're really not a household name for non-musicians. So I'm, you know, I really am looking forward to widening their audience.
That's good. I could just see Stacy, you know, as a young woman going, Dad, you're getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for what? You know, why?
Right.
What did you do, Dad? That was so important.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. You do take your parents for granted. At least most people do until they grow up and kind of see, oh, okay.
Oh, that's
I get
why,
it now.
That's why you do this. Okay, I got it. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I'm definitely excited about the film, and very few people know this, but Stacy even got to ask me to be a part of the film, you know, because she wanted me to come in and make it a little bit longer and everything and so forth. And she asked a bunch of people also to be interviewed and throw our thing into it. So I got to send in my little segment, and I'm so proud that it ended up where it's now, which is on YouTube, because it ended up on the cutting room floor. So,
not you, Sean.
Okay, just remember, Harrison Ford was cut out of E.T.
That's
right, he was.
Very true.
That's right. Hey, so there's still hope for me yet, damn it.
There is hope. You just might be in a Star Wars film or something.
And the first person I'm going to thank is Stacey Lane Wilson on that, you know, for putting me on the floor. But at least I'm on YouTube, damn it. So.
Right. No, actually, though, I mean, the YouTube channel has really started to get a lot of subscribers and a following, because I was not able to put, I mean, we had many, many, many hours of interviews that we did for the film, and the movie is about an hour and a half, which is a good brisk running time. But yeah, it's really fun to dive into the YouTube channel and see the more extended stories and fan accounts. So I'm happy that we have it.
That's
and that
good.
You're there.
And with this, now you said you're going to be taking it all over the world, hopefully, for this, and have it in other festivals and things of that nature. Stacey, I mean, I take it these things cost money to enter as well, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, this is an independent film. You know, myself and my family, you know, and a couple of friends actually, you know, pretty much bankrolled it. A few fans chipped in, which is really great. But, you know, it is an independent endeavor, and so we're just taking it a few steps at a time. Right now we do have some unknown Venture songs in the movie, and then four really well-known ones, which are Walk, Don't Run, Hawaii 5-0, Perfidia, and 2,000 Pound Bee. Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference between paying to license those songs for festivals versus streaming outlets and DVDs, so we'll just have to see you know, what happens in the future. Regardless, the movie will come out in a wide release, but it just may not have all those songs in it.
Right. Okay. And is there any way that the general public who goes, oh, yeah, I remember them because of this. Is there any way that the general public can help out or donate funds to help you with those type of things?
Well, the funding campaigns have ended, but I do actually have our beautiful movie poster for sale on eBay and through my personal website, StacyLaneWilson.com. And they're really, I mean, Rob Cruz, who's the one of the official artists for Viva Las Vegas Rockabilly Weekend, designed the poster in a really cool 60s retro design, and people are loving it. So I'm actually, you know, selling some of those and some T-shirts with that poster design. So that really helps, because all that goes directly back into promoting the film.
Very cool, very cool. Well, I can't wait to see it, and it's going to debut, is it next Wednesday, I believe, on the 12th?
That's right, Wednesday the 12th at 6 p.m. in downtown L.A. at the L.A. Live Regal Cinema. And a cool kind of double bill that Ventures fans can enjoy is that just steps away at the Grammy Museum, there's a huge exhibit celebrating the Ventures. So kind of make the whole Ventures Day of it.
You know what? I was going to ask you, has your dad or the group, have they ever won a Grammy?
You know, that my grandma, who was one of the first record producers in association with her managing the Ventures, got an honorary Grammy as a pioneering woman in music. Yeah, so, no, they haven't. But, you know, I don't know why. I guess just because it's not really, you know, it's the kind of music that musicians know and love, and they did get a lot of radio play, but it's just not pop music, I guess you could say. But, yeah, I mean, they certainly garnered a lot of gold and platinum records and influenced a lot of people. So I don't know why, but I am happy that the Grammy Museum is honoring their legacy. And my dad actually got to go to opening night. And so it was really, really
fun. Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That is totally awesome. Well, you know, your dad, I've told you off the air privately as friends and everything, but your dad has definitely had an influence on me and my music. And I got to meet your dad for the first time last year at the NAMM show. And he was such a nice gentleman. I mean, good Lord. He was like signing everything for me or whatever. He goes, oh, don't forget this. And don't forget to take one of those and take one of these too. And he goes, oh, but wait, you can't take this one yet because I haven't signed it. You know, so.
Yeah, you know, he really is very cognizant of, you know, the fans and the musicians that have been influenced by them. He doesn't take it for granted at all, and he really appreciates it.
No, he does. He really does. And, I mean, God bless him. He's just a sweet man, a lovable man. And I enjoyed my short 10 minutes talking with him and everything. And now all the stuff that he's given me, actually, I have it in a frame as a collage now
that hangs in my house.
So, your dad's a great guy, and I can't wait to see the film next week, Stacey.
Yes, thank you so much for coming, and I'll give you a big hug when I see you.
Will do, will do, absolutely. So,
okay.
All right, sweetie. And so once again, what's the title of the film? The Ventures?
Stars on Guitars.
Stars on Guitars, and this is going to be in downtown L.A. next week at, where's the day at again?
It's a Wednesday the 12th at 6 p.m. at the L.A. Regal Cinema.
LA,
so it's
Regal
LA Live, Regal Cinema, yep.
And then if you want to go next door to the Grammy Museum and check out all the stuff there honoring the Ventures, definitely do that. The Grammy Museum is something worth seeing, absolutely, hands
it's
down.
It's really cool.
Absolutely. Stacey, always good to talk to you.
Thank you, Stacey.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
All right, and we'll talk to you soon again.
Bye.
Okay,
all right, take care. You too, Stacey. Oh, she is so nice.
I'm just been pouring over some of her IMDb stuff, and she's like, she loves the horror genre. Mm-hmm. I'm digging this. I'm like inspired right now.
Oh yeah,
she has this movie out, Cabaret of the Dead. It's like one of her most. I'm gonna go check this out. This looks fun.
She's phenomenal.
It's got Kerry Keegan in it.
I think there's one. Did I have it over here, or did I move it somewhere? I had one of her books over here, and that I read, and it's called That's So L.A. And it's about her growing up.
That is cool.
In Los Angeles and everything and so forth during that whole time period. And it's really neat because Stacey and I are around the same age. And it brought back so many memories of mine of being down in Hollywood and everything. And it's a great read. It's a really good book also. So, yes, she's definitely a friend of the program. We love her, and she's just awesome. Just absolutely awesome. So.
Zach's doing a little video of everybody.
Zach likes to video everything, so.
I do it once every...
So interesting.
I sneezed earlier. I turned my mic off.
Zachary, shush. I knew of the Ventures, but I didn't connect the songs to the
to them.
Yeah, so that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just amazing. I mean, like I said, it's they created. They're the pioneers of of what we now know as surf rock.
Love it.
And you would think, well, okay, it must be these guys who surf and this and that and. No, they're from Seattle.
No, man, they just like that little guitar riff.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And so good.
One of their hotbeds of popularity was actually in Japan.
Yeah, oh, gosh, yeah.
They loved them in Japan. Oh, my God.
Japan they love all the cool stuff.
And, yeah, and Stacey and I, we were talking yesterday briefly. She goes, I can't wait to get over in Japan. I'm going, the films are huge over there. Just huge. So, yeah. Well, excuse me, guys. As you know, the election primary season is upon us, and
I haven't heard a thing about it.
And so, our 2020 election year correspondent Milton has traveled to the Midwest to report on the first state to actually start the voting by holding their caucuses. And basically, you know, he was supposed to be back by now, but we had a little trouble finding him, and I think we finally have him on the phone. Milton, can you hear me?
Oh, no.
Milton, is that you? Hey, talk to me here, buddy.
Coffee?
Hello?
Sean?
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah, it is, Milton. Where the hell are you?
I'm not sure. Let me open my eyes. I see a curb, a bumper, a bumper sticker. It says, I, but I. Wait a minute. Let me turn over. I heart Iowa. So I must still be in the pink eye state. Iowa.
Well, I do believe Iowa is the Hawkeye state, Milton, but that's okay, buddy. Well, not a problem.
You wouldn't say that if you saw what we did with that big caucus.
Well, where are you right now, man?
Well, I'm not sure. I was too drunk to find the jet green chicken.
Okay, Milton. Well, tell us what happened then.
Well, as you know, the biggest caucus in Iowa is the Suckamai County Caucus, which is always held in Holder City, Iowa at the Red Roof Inn, located at Holder and Ball Roads. It's always run by Holder City Mayor Dick Big John Johnson. It's his job, and of course the ladies' auxiliaries, to make sure everyone leaves with a big smile on their face after holding the big Suckamai caucus. This year, the Holder City ladies' auxiliary was servicing the caucus. The girls had set up a bar with liquor in the front as you entered, and of course there was the traditional rousing game of poker in the rear before you left. And I have to say, that was one hell of a stocked bar. Right, now the entire event started with everybody taking a couple of shots of old granddad.
Old granddad?
Oh, man, it was some fun listening to those cunning linguists vie for your vote after that.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, by the time they got around to the actual caucus, some of the ladies from the auxiliary were half-dressed and had to help hold up some of the caucuses attendees in order to get their ballot.
Having trouble with some of the words there? So what happened after that?
I'm lucky I can speak.
Yeah, no kidding. What was the final tally after all? Because there were so many problems there.
Now, Sean, I gotta tell you, I'm not really sure. I think I may have passed out. Now, the last thing I remember was I was wearing a pink bra, and it was decided by majority vote that you were supposed to draw a big penis on your ballot if you wanted to vote for the incumbent. Now, at one point in my drunken stupor, I swear I saw someone with one of those Make America Great hats. Yeah, they were peeing in the Democrats' ballot box.
That's what happens.
Yeah, it does very often. Yeah, very often.
So I wouldn't Damn be Trump surprised supporters. If the results are a little late.
Oh boy. Okay.
Sean, I gotta.
We'll let you go then, Milton. We'll talk to you soon, buddy. Why don't you just go ahead and take care of yourself? All right, let's go ahead and move on.
Wow, I think we need to get a sober source here.
I've never heard Milton that drunk before, but it sounds like he had
nothing about Bernie, nothing about Pete Buttigieg. I don't know.
Well, it's the Iowa caucus itself, so
yes,
you know.
I know. Still,
yeah,
we have priorities here.
Well, that's why he's reporting on the Iowa caucus.
I see that.
Yeah,
at the bar.
Yeah, apparently. So we gotta find out how he's doing a little bit later on. Then so. Well, unfortunately, we've lost another hero of ours, a great Hollywood legend, the great Kirk Douglas.
Steve was shaking his fists for 2 seconds. I thought I was going to do the Spartacus thing.
well, actually,
I'm Spartacus.
One of my favorite movies from way back when was a Kirk Douglas movie. It was originally called The Big Carnival. And it's about this man who gets trapped at the bottom of this mine, and it's a giant thing starts happening all around it. And Kirk Douglas is newspaper guy, and he comes to report on it, and he falls in love with this guy who's trapped, wife, and it's just amazing movie. And they're trying to save this guy at the bottom of the well, and he's, you know, fooling around, and it becomes a big carnival around this deadly situation. And situation.
So there's trouble with your vowels there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I think some of Milton's drunkenness may have rubbed off on me
your,
there.
Your consonants,
so.
Too.
But it's typical and wonderful Kirk Douglas. So
nice. Do you have a favorite Kirk Douglas movie, or...?
I mean, Spartacus, obviously, but I mean, I feel like I, you know, being born in 79, being, you know, only 40, I think I missed some of his good, I missed that time period. My dad was a huge Kirk Douglas fan.
Well, I mean, there's
more
always,
so Clint Eastwood, but you know.
Well, I mean, there's always, like, you know, DVDs and movies.
I know. I was catching
but
up.
But you haven't really had a chance to, like, go back.
I know I've seen a ton of his movies. Yeah. I know, you know, he's one of the greats, but I just... Off the top of my head, I'm still upset with Milton over this whole thing about the caucuses.
Zach, what about you, bud?
I've never seen a single one.
Really?
Zach.
You've never seen a Kirk Douglas movie at all?
I mean, I know what Spartacus is, but other than that, I've never seen a Kirk Douglas movie.
Wow. That just blows me away. No, that just blows me away. No, it just shows the demographics, though, of where he's at, you know, and where you guys are as far as movie stars are concerned. You know, I mean, we're...
Yeah. I know his son.
They almost look alike. Yeah, we know. So.
They're very much alike. Oh, yeah. I mean, 2,000 Leagues Under the Sea, or 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea,
yes,
yeah.
There we go.
Surprised that hasn't gotten a remake. That sounds like the kind of movie that would get remade.
Yeah. I mean, you look at his IMDb, I mean, it's all over the place. He's done so many different things. One of my favorites, I think, was a more recent film. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he did it with Charlton Heston. Where they played older gangsters. And I think it's called Tough Guys, is what it is. And they're these gangsters that get released because they robbed a train like 50 years ago or something like that or whatever. And then they find out as they get out of prison that the train is making its last run forever. And so they decide to rob the train again, basically. And
because why not?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's one of those things. And, you know, they're trying to reminisce or whatever, the old days kind of thing and so forth from the 40s and this and that. But the chemistry between, you know, Douglas and Heston is just phenomenal alone. And to watch these two giants, you know, of actors, you know, I mean, legends, pull off this really great comedy kind of a thing, you know, is just one of my favorite films that he's done. But Kirk Douglas has done so many. Were you looking it up or?
Yeah, I was running.
Was that pretty much on the money on that one? Or?
Yeah, 1986.
God, 86 I think came out. Holy cow!
Yeah. So
I'm pouring over the you googlies right now.
Aging train robbers back in 86.
Yeah,
and he has
yeah.
Such a wide variety. Oh my goodness, there's like a ton of westerns,
mm-hmm.
lots of romance, lots of, you know.
He was a leading man, absolutely. Yeah. He was. I mean, that was the thing I think that kept his longevity is that he could do everything and anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could do the physical stuff. He could be the leading romance, you know, kind of guy and everything. So, I mean, yeah, there was depth, there was comedy, there was action, swashbuckler, the whole nine yards. He could definitely do everything, so. Definitely going to be missed. 103 years old, man. That's
pretty amazing.
I didn't realize he was that old.
I feel like he was in better health than his son, for being honest here.
He looked 103.
Yeah, if you look at the last pictures, there's a picture of him and Michael that you look at and go, holy crap, he was old.
Yeah, but I think what helped with the deterioration, though, unfortunately, was the stroke that he had, though.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what it did not help him at all, you know, and that was a major part of
it. Yeah, screw you up.
But do we have a clip on him right now?
Sure do.
Icon of American cinema, Kirk Douglas was one of the last surviving movie stars of the classic Hollywood era that emerged after World War II. He was admired for his looks, his very good looks, and respected for his intensity. Vladimir Dudier is here to show us Douglas's remarkable career. Vlad, remarkable is just one of the adjectives we could use to describe Kirk Douglas today.
Legendary, dashing, amazing. Yeah. Spartacus. He starred in more than 80 films, Gail. In announcing his death, his son Michael Douglas wrote, "To the world, he was a legend, an actor from the golden age of movies who lived well into his golden years. But to me and my brothers, he was simply dad."
I'm Spartacus!
I'm Spartacus.
No, you're not.
There was only one Spartacus. And just one Kirk Douglas. He was born Isier Danielovich to Russian immigrant parents in 1916. He changed his name to Kirk Douglas after serving in the Navy in World War II. And not long after that,
I remember,
he secured his first movie role in The Strange Love of Martha Ivers.
I love you.
But his breakout performance was as boxer Midge Kelly in Champion.
For the first time in my life, people cheering for me.
One day you work for me.
He'd go on to star as a greedy movie mogul, a jazz musician, a Western gunslinger, a French army commander in World War I,
get these men out of here!
And so much more. But for years, Douglas had a reputation as someone who was difficult to work with.
Because I'm a loner clear down deep to my very guts.
In 1992, 60 Minutes correspondent Mike Wallace asked him why.
Where did that all come from, Kirk?
It shows you what a good actor I am because I really am the sweetest.
Douglas won an honorary Oscar in 1996.
Thank you.
For his years as a force in the film community. He lived to be 103.
Hey, keep in shape.
Wow. That's amazing, though, man. I mean, to live 103 years old. Mm. And he is the last one of the golden age. I mean, that's it's now done. It's gone. You know, it really is from that genre. Now, somebody else passed away just last night. That was a little bit of a shock to
really
us.
Really sad.
I get the text in the group chat at like 1:30 in the morning. And Steve's all sad.
Yeah, and I personally did not know this actor myself, but Orson Bean?
Mm-hmm.
And do we have something on him, Zach, by chance?
Yeah, he had a cameo in an episode of 2.5 Men.
Can I give you a little advice, kid?
Sure.
I was a player once, like you.
Do tell.
Does the name Tuesday Weld mean anything to you?
No.
Joey Heatherton?
No.
The immortal Miss Anne Francis? TV's Honey West?
Sorry.
Well, look them up on your internet. They were all hot, and I nailed them.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's the way to go out.
Says it.
Yeah.
In a fortune, that's how I feel around people. Yeah. I go, oh, yeah.
And Amber, I think you have the story on this, right?
So, yeah, I heard it this morning on the way here, actually, on NPR.
What actually happened?
NPR.
NPR, the official. You shut your face. You probably listen to TMZ or some shit like that.
Oh, wow. Really? You want to throw punches? Take that.
You can't
look out.
You can't punch that low. Anyway, so apparently he was driving and someone hit his car.
Okay.
And then they sped off. Isn't that correct, Steve? So you're telling me also that it was a hit and run, and then someone else.
Oh, he wasn't in a car.
No, he was walking across the street or something.
His wife was working across the street.
How about if we look it up and actually read the story itself, so we find out and get our facts straight.
Pour some sugar on me. There we go.
Pour some.
Can we get the facts on this?
Sugar.
I thought he was in a vehicle.
That's not all.
I love this.
My Google.
Because I thought Amber had the story, and then goes.
I did.
I think he was in a car. No, he was in a crosswalk.
What?
I feel like going. Ah, yes, I remember it well.
He was in a crosswalk.
It says a car coming westbound did not see him and clipped him, and then he went down. And then a second vehicle was coming, and it was distracted by people trying to slow the driver. And I guess that car hit him, and that's what killed him.
Okay. Oh my God! So he was.
So he was
pronounced. Yeah, he was pronounced dead at the scene.
On the radio this morning, they weren't clear what hit or who what happened.
So. Dumbasses. Yeah, NPR.
You shut your face.
Yeah, that's why I always go to KFWB News.
That's why I always go to Google. Google.
Glad you could spell that right.
That's why you are the way you are, Zachary.
And
that's
right. And this was down in Venice, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yes.
Venice Boulevard and Shell Avenue in Venice, yes.
That's correct, yes.
Oh, so tragic, man. That is so sad.
91, what the hell? I mean, that's a way to go out, hit by a car out of all the things.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, geez. Oh. All right, well, last week also was the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Steve came over, watched it.
Mm-hmm. Had some Fritos and dip.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, a lot of it.
Yeah, we did.
I was happy with Kansas City winning.
I was going to say, who were you rooting for?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted the Titans to go all the way. Right. I was just happy the Green Bay got knocked out. But I think my biggest highlight, because I just caught the game on highlights on YouTube, because my girlfriend did not want to watch it with me. Anyways.
Should I keep over here?
My favorite thing, well, we were busy. My favorite thing was Trump's tweet after the game.
Oh, God.
Please. Can we just... He said the great state of Kansas. The great state of Kansas.
That's something that Bush 2.0 would have said.
It's worse.
You know, and the
but
fact...
But more consistently ignorant.
And people call me W. Yeah. Talking about me right here. You want to throw down right here?
Listen, Zach, just catch
we're
up
not,
with
we're not,
and get
we're
the
not throwing
Trump,
down, Mr.
Get the
President.
Trump down.
Okay,
we just love how you brought words to us that we've never heard before and how you mismatched so many different things.
You know what W stamps for? Webster Dictionary.
Doubt that.
Does that mean you need it?
Maybe.
Okay, thank you, President. But that was really.
It was magical. And it was up for quite a bit until they
pulled it down. Yeah.
Finally pulled it down.
My favorite thing right now is there's this shirt. It's like going all over the internet. It's a T-shirt. And it has the state of Missouri. And on it, it says, the great state of Kansas.
This. That's funny.
I honestly thought that Kansas City was Kansas. I didn't know it was Missouri.
Oh, of course
I saw
did.
One. Remember when
you did? The president should not
tried to show how the hurricane was going across Florida, and he added a circle around to say, "Yeah, this is where it's going with magic marker." Well, this one was the state of Kansas with a circle around Kansas City over there in Missouri.
So.
What did you think of the game, though, Zach?
Oh, boy.
I had my own problems that day. I was craving wings, so me and Steve were talking about this place called Meetup near where I live, and they make, like, the best buffalo wings. We went to go pick them up, you know, for the game, and it turns out, for whatever reason, they were closed. Like, who closes on a Super Bowl when you have that kind of food? So I ended up going to Wingstop. I couldn't get anything from there. They said they wouldn't have orders ready for, like, an hour and a half. And then I just ended up getting Pizza Hut wings. So, yeah, it was pretty bad. But I was really surprised how that turned out because my mom is a ultimate 49er fan and really thought that they were going to win. And just that last, what was it, the last quarter when Kansas City just turned everything
around,
I think?
Was 10 to, was it 10 to 10 at the half or something like that?
No, it was 10-20, I thought. 10-20.
10 to 10. Kansas City was losing by 10.
Yeah, it was 20. Okay.
It was 20 to 10.
And then all of a sudden, yeah, just completely turned that around. Like last minute and a half of the
31-20. So
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Scored 3 touchdowns the last quarter.
I could hear people screaming outside.
I was kind of glad that they won myself, too, mainly because of the fact that it had been 50 years since they have won one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so for them to have them, you know, win their second one in such a long period of time, you know, that's a great accomplishment.
And with a young quarterback who's
kid's only
phenomenal.
24 years old. Yeah. Holy cow. Yeah. You know, Jimmy.
He can get it done, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So it was a good game, though. Halftime show I thought was really nice.
Of course he's.
You know, no, seriously, because it was, they could have gone a completely different route, and they didn't. And the fact that it was in Miami, mm-hmm. they brought in 2 Latina performers.
Yes.
And brought in that culture and everything. Mm-hmm. That is such kind of like L.A. L.A. has that Latino culture here, and same thing over there with Miami, too.
Yep.
So they brought that into it, and they're singing not just, you know, their J-Lo songs, Shakira songs, whatever, but, you know, they're also singing in Spanish, too, and everything. So, no, I thought it was one of the best half times I've seen in a really long time.
And that tongue thing Shakira did?
That made me uncomfortable.
So play it again. Play it again. Can you do it for me, Shaq?
I don't like this.
Yeah, you know that. That was how can I explain that?
It's become a meme now. It's so funny.
It made me want to.
Shh, we're on the air.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, no. I thought it was a mating call or something.
Yeah.
So
that's very good.
She's a bird in the Amazon.
It wasn't like one of those yeehaw or whatever, you know.
And on your left, and on your left, you'll see a herd of Shakiras.
Yep, pretty much.
Wow.
But no, overall, I thought it was one of the best Super Bowl halftime shows in a really long time.
Yeah, I wasn't very fond of the Adam Levine one, the Maroon 5.
Yeah, no. You know which was a good one, too, was, I think, in all honesty, was the Katy Perry one. Because that was a big extravagant.
Oh, yeah,
God, with the sharks.
Showmanship.
Well, she came out on that big lion thing or whatever.
And then Missy Elliott was with her as well, weren't they?
I don't remember.
I think so.
I don't remember.
See, but, it's all a blur, all these halftime.
But this definitely was a good
one. Lady Gaga was my very favorite one.
She did a good job. Yeah, that wasn't bad either. That was a pretty good one, too. Yeah. Well, of course, you know, at Super Bowl parties, everybody likes to have different foods. Unfortunately, Zach never got his wings.
Nope. Mm-mm. Nope. I'm going to go get them tomorrow, though, because I want redemption.
And
we were going to go get chicken, and it never happened.
Right, yeah.
Because the chips and dips were just so good.
They were.
There you go.
And we were also talking about getting pizza, maybe.
Pizza's delicious.
And since it's National Pizza Day today, too.
Oh, today?
Today is.
I might have to get some pizza later.
Oh, yeah. Pizza is definitely good.
Pizza time.
Pizza time is definitely
good. Pizza time. So, what we should do?
Yes, I do.
The most popular pizza toppings in the United States of America.
Are what?
They're in the great state of Kansas. I'm kidding. They're not there for sure. So according to the research, Steve's old manning on us. According to some research, 52% of Americans surveyed said pepperoni is one of their favorite pizza toppings.
Yeah, it's mine.
I don't mind it. I get tired of it, though.
I know, but it's so simple and just, it's like perfect. You know what I mean? So, okay, 34%. Said that sausage was in their top 3, and 31% said mushrooms was in their top 3.
There you go.
This is a very odd little percentages here. So bacon and plain mozzarella cheese.
Oh.
Yes, yes.
Someone just had
We're
an orgasm.
Each named top
I've got to change my
picks.
Shorts.
This article's all about threes here. Bacon and plain mozzarella cheese were the top three picks and 20% of respondents to the. I don't know this. I don't know where these numbers are coming from. On the other end, 49% of those polled selected anchovies. What the hell were they thinking?
Oh my God!
I think you're reading that wrong, sweetheart. Nope. Why'd you read it again?
It is one of the grossest pizza toppings. Voted one of the grossest. Yes, one of the least favorite anchovies.
Least favorite. That's the thing you left out.
But there's another 51% that likes it.
My friend Anna puts it on her. She insists wherever we go, she has to have anchovies on her pizza. I'm like, you are disgusting. That gets anywhere near mine. The smell. Oh,
anchovies.
God. I'm just wondering whose idea was that, though.
I don't
the same one that came up with pineapple.
Love it.
That one I'm okay with.
Anchovies are like, you know, they're a.
It's a fish.
Italiano, you know. I don't know, but they're preserved. They're a nice little preserved. It's like pepperoni and sausage. Those are all preserved meats, and you just throw them on top of that thing and put it in the oven. Don't freak out. Eat that thing.
I agree.
It's like
you.
Somebody had a hangover, and they're like, let's put all this shit on here and throw it in the oven and put it in our face.
It's like pointed at something. That.
Okay, also at the bottom were eggplant. Disliked by 30%. Pineapple, disliked by 24%, and artichokes by 24%. So interesting. Pizza topping preferences vary by age and location.
I'm okay with artichokes.
So demographics apparently matter, according to this. So
yeah.
According to YouGov.com's data, people in the West are more likely to pick pineapple as the favorite topping, and people 18 to 34 years old also tend to be more into pineapple.
Like Sean,
you're questioning me. You're reading it.
No, I'm reading it, but I'm like, I'm questioning the article I'm reading. Meanwhile, only 9% of Americans 55 or older choose the tropical fruit as their favorite topping, and 28% counted it among their favorite or least favorite topping. Sorry, least favorite topping.
I will say pepperoni and pineapple is really good because it's that saltiness from the pepperoni and the you know I like that. Ooh. I'd rather have that than ham or Canadian bacon.
That. Okay, you might make me switch over to pepperoni now and try that. I want to
try
that.
Get a good. Okay, do you have like a place that makes a good
pineapple?
Do you have a place?
Pepperoni pineapple is really good together.
Do you have a good place, Sean, that makes a good pepperoni pizza? Like just standalone on that. That's a question.
Get my place that I go to all the time.
Okay, make sure you get it with pineapple and like have it well done a little bit because you want the pepperoni really crispy.
Crispy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Trust me.
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right.
I do like pepperoni with pineapple.
I think I'll try it on a...
I prefer pepperoni pineapple over to ham and pineapple or bacon and pineapple, whatever that is.
Yeah, you see what I mean? There's something about the pepperoni flavor. It goes with the pineapple. I mean, that's like the only way to do it for me.
I think I'll try it on a personal pan.
You know what I really love?
There you go.
A really good brunch breakfast pizza.
I never had one.
They just the cheese, they use like a burrata and crack an egg on that thing with some bacon and some...
Yeah.
Some arugula, stick that thing in the oven. Oh.
Who's up for pizza?
I am. I'm ready to go right now.
I'm so hungry right now.
Breakfast.
Steve, you're always on your phone. Call in.
Well, speaking of phoning something in, guess what's tomorrow?
I don't know. What is it? I haven't heard anything.
It's the Oscars.
Da, da, da.
I know. I was joking. It's all you hear about right now. Freaking Oscars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tinseltown.
So, oh, we're doing that now?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so.
No.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing that right
now. Yeah, we're not doing that now.
It's not now.
Right.
We're no, not... I'm just saying Tinseltown because
that's
what it
sounds
like.
Talking about the Oscars.
Yeah.
Talking about the Oscars.
Yes, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
I already have mine in my mind.
That's why I'm playing Paul Preston's thing.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
So, picks tomorrow, favorite movies, hoping to pick certain winners, or?
You already know mine.
Renee Zellweger.
Oh, for Judy.
Oh, my gosh.
I haven't seen that yet. I got to watch that.
I cried three times.
Really?
I love Judy Garland. Two of my favorites, Barbara Streisand and Judy Garland. I'm like a gay man. Yes, I know.
Why is Minnelli not so much?
Shut up. She's amazing. You shut your face, Satchery. Judy Garland.
I agree with
Judy
you.
Judy Garland.
Yeah, one of the most unfortunate success stories that there ever was Judy Garland.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Very
sad.
But Renee Zellweger, she killed it. So that's what I'm rooting for.
Yeah, I want to see that just because I want to see her act that part.
It was fantastic.
You know what's funny about her, too, is like she kind of like dropped off the face of the earth for a while.
Yeah, she did.
And then she just comes back with this one.
She did a movie on a Netflix movie that was interesting. I didn't finish watching it.
Can we pull up the nominees?
Yes.
Renee Zellweger's fantastic.
I mean, there's a good diversity, I think, too, in who's nominated this year. I think, was it Antonio Banderas?
He's nominated, yes.
Is nominated, mm-hmm. you know, for the first time. So, in, what is it called? Pain and Glory, I think, or something like that?
I can't remember the name of it. I listened to a really cool story with him. I'm very excited. I wonder what Parasite's going to do.
I don't know, but I mean...
That's one I haven't seen yet.
Leading roles for the guys, Antonio Banderas, Leonardo DiCaprio, Adam Driver, Joaquin Phoenix, and then Jonathan Pryce.
Leo's not going to get it. I mean, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it was good, but he was okay. It wasn't that great. Brad Pitt was way better.
A little louder, please.
Sorry.
Let's see. I don't know if Brad...
Joaquin Phoenix.
I think Jonathan Pryce might get it, though, for Two
really?
Popes. Yeah.
I haven't seen that one yet. I have it queued on my
It's going to be between him and Joaquin Phoenix, because you know, Netflix really, really wants
Joaquin
an Oscar.
They do. They really do. But you know what? Because it's Netflix, though, the Academy might go the other way.
Yeah.
So who do we have in supporting role here? So Tom Hanks, Anthony Hopkins, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, and Brad Pitt. I've all been on
Brad
it.
Brad Pitt.
You got Anthony Hopkins again, though, man.
I don't understand. Tom Hanks, Best Supporting Actor, Beautiful Day. He's the leading role.
No, he's not.
I don't really. It's about Mr. Rogers.
It's about Mr. Rogers, but he's not the main character.
Oh,
it's the reporter that's doing the story on him.
Ah, yes, that makes sense.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't see him.
So yeah. So, you know, Tom Hanks, you know, I mean, he's won two Oscars back to back.
See, I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, you know, he won for Forrest Gump and for Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, I mean.
Life is like a box of chocolate.
Did you see a bowl
terrible.
Of chocolate?
Would you make up your mind? Is it a bowl or is it a box?
Bowl of chocolate.
Mama said it's stupid. It's stupid.
I still want to go for Brad Pitt in this
you
category.
You get your ass whooped.
But you know what? It's going to be, that is going to be a toss-up, I think, between, because all of them have been. Are great actors. I wouldn't mind seeing Joe Pesci get it, though.
Me too.
I really would.
See, I haven't seen The Irishman yet.
Oh, these.
Oh.
I need to convince Kate to watch it with me. It's 3 hours. It's a commitment.
You got to really commit.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
I watched it at work the other day.
I'm a huge Scorsese fan.
Oh, my God. It is such a long movie, but.
What the hell do you do at work? he's like, I watched this
you know
movie
what my
at
boss
work.
Is, my boss is wondering the same thing
I
sometimes,
know,
too.
I am.
No, when I'm pulling things apart or whatever, I'll have it on and just have it there.
Okay, I have Harriet queued up in my thing. So, Cynthia Erivo.
Okay, so these are actors in a leading role. Cynthia Erivo, Scarlett Johansson.
Saoirse,
is that how you pronounce
Saoirse
it?
Saoirse Ronan.
Ronan.
She's Irish.
Charlize Theron, and then Renee Zellweger.
Renee Zellweger.
You know... Cynthia said something the other day or whatever about her role in her nomination with Harriet and saying, like, she's the only black woman and she can only share this with nobody. And I'm like,
oh, God.
You know what?
It's they're not very inclusive at the Academy this year. It's very whitewashed. I haven't watched Harriet
there,
yet.
She
I
need said
to,
it.
I need to watch Harriet, but I really am shooting for Renee Zellweger just because that was just...
Yeah.
Man, that blew my
but
mind.
Again,
Charlize Theron, though, has a good chance, though. Of
no,
getting...
Well, she's got
a good
chance.
Well, she's got a good chance because she's also nominated in a supporting role, too.
Oops, wrong one.
It's okay. Because you got Kathy Bates, Laura Dern, and then Scarlett Johansson's also in Jojo Rabbit as a supporting role. Mm.
Scarlett's twice.
Yeah, and that's
not
what you said. What did
no,
I say?
You said Charlize Theron.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Scarlett Johansson. And then Florence Pugh in Little Women. And then Margot Robbie got nominated again for Bombshell.
That's on my queue, too. I just don't have time to watch too many movies.
And then, who do we have for the major? That's anime feature. Cinematographer, let's pass that. Directing. Martin Scorsese for The Irishman, The Joker, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And then Parasite is nominated.
I think Parasite will get it for directing.
Bong Joon-ho is amazing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Bong Joon who?
Bong Joon Ho. Really need to watch that one. Is not streaming anywhere. I can't throw money even at that to watch it. I want to see Parasite.
Well, Best Pictures up right now is Ford versus Ferrari.
That won't get it.
The Irishman, really long movie, but really good. Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, which I was kind of surprised on considering this is like the 12th remake of that film, and
it's
then
different.
Marriage Story. So it's going to be a big pull. I don't know. Who's going to get it? I've got a funny feeling it might be The Irishman, but I don't know.
Can't it just be Joker?
I know. I think it's going to be Joker.
Please.
I was surprised to see Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah, so was
in this
I.
category. I
it's,
don't.
It's a good.
I
movie.
Need to see it. I need to see it. I have got all of these queued up and ready to go, except for Parasite.
Yeah.
It's the one I really want to watch. So it's like, you know, I'm going to have my little weekend. Maybe this week I'll try to make it through some of them.
Cool. Well, what, let's see, Steve, you were born in what, 49?
Mm-hmm.
So what was the best picture for him?
It was Hamlet.
Hamlet, oh.
Alas, poor Yorick. I knew him, Horatio. He was a man of infinite jest.
I like that.
Wow.
Keep going. Yeah. All right.
Shakespeare. Good job. Tell me more.
Let's see. I was born in 70, so what was mine?
Midnight Cowboy.
I'm walking here!
And that was an accident?
Yes, it totally was.
In fact, it was the cab drivers that were in the movie.
We're actual cab drivers.
Just left on the wrong queue.
Yeah.
That's they were, hilarious.
Almost hit him.
Literally.
It was a real moment because they went at the wrong time, and he's all like, and they just ad-libbed it and went with it, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's how you know people are actors.
Yeah.
And he still kept with the limp, too, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, he kept character. So he just kept going.
Go Dustin.
Yeah.
And then let's see. Amber, you were born what?
1979.
What was hers?
So Deer Hunter. Which is, and I mean.
It's a love story.
I don't know.
You know it's,
I love
it's,
the dance numbers,
that's
though.
That's a rough one. That's an interesting movie, but it caught a lot of flack because a lot of people said he portrayed Vietnam, the director who directed, I can't remember who directed it, but a lot of flack because it portrayed the war a little incorrectly. They play Russian roulette, and that apparently never happened. There's like not even one report of the American soldiers playing Russian roulette
in Vietnam.
Nope. And then,
do you think they're really going to report on that, though?
I don't know. Maybe.
No,
the
they
people
won't.
Are over there like, I don't know. It's a movie. They, I don't know.
No, they're really not.
And then it also cut some flack for kind of misportraying Vietnamese people generally, like South Vietnamese, as all evil and all bad, which caught a lot of global flack.
All right. You know who was in that I like? Meryl Streep.
Oh, yeah, she was,
oh, was she in that? I didn't know she was in that. Mm-hmm. I'll have to watch it. I have yet to see The Deer Hunter, believe it or not.
Yeah, they played
De Niro.
I've caught it in bits and pieces, but I've never seen it from front to end. Zach, how about you, bud? What was yours?
Mine was Out of Africa.
Sorry?
Out of Africa.
No, I heard you. I am just really sorry that was your best picture, the year you were born.
Oh, why?
That is such a boring movie.
Oh, well, sounds like me. I'm just kidding.
No, believe me, you're far more excited than Out. I'd rather spend an hour and a half with you than watch Out of Africa.
You have?
Yes, exactly. Oh, my God. Really?
Over sushi where we thought it was all you can eat.
Yeah. Oh,
he was pissed.
I was so fucking pissed.
Well, now with, of course, the Oscars being the big talk of the town, let's go to our own crackpot Hollywood reporter. Thank you. Our old friend... Brandon Gordon with the Tinseltown Spotlight. Brandon.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Emma. Thank you. Oh, so right on the ball. Yes, tomorrow night is the Academy Awards, and which is otherwise known as the White People's Choice Awards.
There we go.
Oscar nominee Scarlett Johansson has decided to stretch her acting abilities in movies such as Marriage Story and Jojo Rabbit. Yes, she plays an actress and a single mother. Hey, wait a minute. Well, that's all right, but still, the only performance I'd like to see her in is when she's wearing a skin-tight superhero outfit. By the way, Black Widow comes out May 1st. Better get your ticket soon. Joaquin Phoenix is nominated for playing the lead role in the movie Joker. If Joaquin does not receive the Oscar for the wonderful performance, Mattel Toys has promised that he will get an award for actor who looks like an action figure the most. Either way, we'll say good luck, crazy man. You can laugh. It's okay. Don't worry about it. First-time Oscar nominee actor Antonio Banderas, who normally plays the suave and dashing characters, went for a more dramatic role this time around in the movie Pain and Glory. When asked what his inspiration was to play such a low-life character, Antonio simply replied, Gary Busey.
Oh, boy.
Now, I must ask you, is it fair that Will Smith did not get nominated for Gemini Man? I mean, what a performance! But... was it really not fair? It was really not fair that he got paid twice for the damn movie. Of course, everyone is hoping that the film Parasite wins an Oscar. Yes, it's a film about greed and class discrimination threatening the newly formed symbiotic relationship between the wealthy Park family and the Dattu's Kim clan. Did we mention that this was a comedy, folks? Well, even though we have Oscars tomorrow night, many people are looking forward to certain films. The biggest one so far is Top Gun Maverick. Yes, this movie takes place 35 years after the original.
I haven't heard of this one.
Holy cow. That's right. So now we hear Tom Cruise saying things like, take me to my Craftmatic adjustable bed or lose me forever. Or maybe he'll now say, I have the need for soup. That's right, the original cast is back, but this time Kelly McGinnis is playing Tom Cruise's father.
Father?
Val Kilmer is playing an aircraft carrier.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And Anthony Edwards is playing the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Oh, it's perfect for him.
Exactly. You'll get that joke when you see the original film. See, he died in the original film. Yeah.
Okay.
In other Hollywood news, critics are still saying that Hollywood movies are too violent. I took a 9-year-old kid to see his first superhero movie the other day, The Joker. That's right. I took him to go see The Joker. He cried all the way through the entire film. Well, of course, maybe because he didn't know who I was, but that's beside the point.
That's creepy.
During the trial of once big-time producer Harvey Weinstein, a friend of his said that he had a sex addiction. Oh, you think? Maybe Harvey should have been more like the Oscar statue himself. He keeps his hands to where you can see them, never says a rude word, and mostly important, has no penis at all. He's literally a statue of limitations.
That's pretty good.
And of course, we lost a great Hollywood legend. Spartacus himself, the great Kirk Douglas, has passed away at 100 years old. At least now we'll be able to tell him and Michael Douglas apart.
Oh, my God.
Well, until next time, this is Brandon Gowen saying, back in 1917, once upon a time in Hollywood, there was a parasite called the Joker, who liked little women but couldn't decide to drive a Ford or a Ferrari, but ended up hitting the Irishman who was carrying a Jojo Rabbit. But that's another marriage story for later. Until then, ta-ta for now.
I like the mashup at the end. It was awesome.
Yes.
That's a great mashup. Should we play the game?
I think so.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the game show that is sweeping the nation. Quiz me!
Quiz you! Sean.
Yes.
The Irishman. Damn it.
I had to think about
that's close.
For a second.
I'm very disappointed in his description of Parasite.
That was actually the art and how it's described, too.
I thought it was about a giant killer tapeworm.
No.
Damn it.
Yeah. I thought it was about my first wife.
Oh. Sounds like my first girlfriend. Question number one. Let's start with a big one. Which movie won the most Oscars?
Ooh, Sean. Titanic?
That is one of them. Yes, there's actually two more.
Steve.
Really?
Gone with the Wind.
No.
Really?
Ooh, what was the other one?
I'm looking for two more. One is around the time Steve was born, and the other one is actually a franchise. The only franchise to win.
Oh, Sean.
Sean.
Lord of the Rings?
That is one, yes.
Oh, that's
right.
The
Return of the King. And that's then right, one more. Date is 1959.
Oh, Steve was 10.
Yeah.
Come on, Steve. Get that 10-year-old. Dig in your old man.
We talked about one of these actors when we were referencing Kirk Douglas.
Sean.
Sean.
The Ten Commandments.
Oh, you're right there. You got the actor right.
Oh, Sean.
Sean.
After everybody else. Everybody else has to go. Low. I know it now.
Ten Commandments. So it's some old shit like that.
Yeah.
Let's see.
And he plays an old shit guy, too.
He plays an old shit, too. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm picturing Moses or some shit like that for some reason. That's not. That's the Ten Commandments.
That's Ten Commandments. Read a book, Amber.
Wow.
Steve.
Oh, those was fighting words, little Mister.
Steve.
Intellectual.
Are you gonna guess?
No.
Ben Hur.
There you go.
Okay.
Amber's gonna kick my ass after the show. Question number two. Who was the first actor or actress to win 4 Academy Awards?
Steve. Walt Disney.
Negative.
Damn it.
Really? Sean.
John.
Jack Nicholson.
Close, but no.
Jack Johnson?
Jack Moore?
Jack in the Box?
Four Academy.
It's a woman. How about that?
Jack Tripper. Oh.
Steve.
Steve.
Again, Meryl Streep.
No, I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, my God.
I was unsure.
That's a good guess, though. Good guess. God. Think a little older.
Steve.
Steve.
Betty Davis.
Oh, my gosh.
No. Amber?
I'm off on this one today.
This is a big name.
My Oscar trivia is not on par, obviously.
She's a very well... She's as big as Kirk Douglas around there.
Say it.
Sean.
I believe the lovely lady that we are looking for
You just almost said it. You started
Katharine Hepburn.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
That hurts.
Norman, you old poop.
That one hurts. Good God.
Whew. Oh, man. Question number three.
I'm going to take a knee for that one.
I'm going to sip my tea while you guys finish the quiz because I'm out of this one.
What?
I'll just watch you guys.
Here's an easy one. This was recent. Which film won Best Picture after the wrong winner was announced?
It
really seems like Sean's like the big winner of this, isn't it? Like,
yeah, he's on his
Steve.
He's on his
Steve.
The LA one. LA.
No.
La La Land won. But it wasn't La La Land. It was somebody else that should have won.
Moonlight?
That
actually won.
Amber's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
I was picturing the guy in my head. Picturing him.
That must have hurt.
Get the name. Oh, you're so stupid sometimes.
Four.
But I love you.
What new award category was added to the Academy Awards in 2001?
New category.
Sean? Best Animation?
Wow, yes.
And that's what I was going to say. Wow. If you
that was,
say, yeah,
that was
Best Animation.
I hit the wrong button. There we go.
That was a quiet one.
Yeah, sorry. Question number five. We're all on our game.
Zach pushes all the wrong buttons.
Apparently. Okay, here's a fun one. Which movie earned the most nominations without winning a single one?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Most nominations without winning a single one.
Now I can play my Jeopardy.
Okay.
Here we go. Wow. Theater of the Mind, ladies and gentlemen.
Give us a roundabout a year.
Okay, I will. All right, 1985.
Oh.
Well, it wasn't that stupid one, the piano player, that's for sure.
No, that's a little past the pianist.
I can give you one more clue, 85? And this might actually get everyone's ears perked.
85.
It was a Steven Spielberg movie.
It wasn't 85. E.T., was it?
Steve.
No.
Steve.
Far and Away.
No, Ron Howard did that one.
What was Spielberg, 86.
What was the
85.
Movie?
85.
Like, it was one like...
What was the movie about?
2.5 hours.
See, it took place in the early 1900s. It starred Danny Glover.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Was it a Spielberg movie?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh! Oh, I know exactly which one.
Oh,
it's Sean.
The Color Purple. That's right. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Wow.
That one got me excited. I'm sorry. That's one of my all-time favorite movies.
She stole it right out of here.
If someone is out there listening, they're just like, what the hell is going on?
Go watch number five.
I'm sorry, Sean.
Playing loosey-goosey with the rules today.
He's burning holes through me with his eyeballs.
He was doing that to me earlier. I think he's got a lot of angst today.
He's like
for some
Cyclops
reason.
from X-Men.
Jeez.
It burns!
Damn right it's going to burn.
All right. Who has the most Oscar wins and nominations?
In nominations?
Both?
Wins and...
Okay, that would have to be Sean.
It's not Sean, but go ahead.
Walt Disney.
That is right.
Yeah. Because we were talking about this the other day.
We had that question about who has the most Oscars like almost two times ago.
Well, you and I were talking about it last night or the other night. Because we were talking about John Williams.
John Williams.
He's right behind. Yeah, the composer.
Star Wars.
Yeah, he's right. He's right behind Walt Disney. Walt Disney has had 59 nominations.
Really?
And John Williams has had 52 nominations.
Hmm. Sean loves this shit, doesn't he? Question number six.
He's been studying.
Have you seen my wall downstairs?
It's true.
Since we were looking it up last night.
I know, right?
All right. What year were the Oscars first broadcast in color?
Oh shit! In color. Oh,
Steve. That is the incorrect answer, Steve.
'67
Amber. Steve, you're right. You were right there, Amber.
Oh, really? Oh, shit.
That should help you, Amber. He was right there,
Sean.
What? 66
What?
66
That is correct.
I mean, that was. I actually was going to say something totally different.
You know what? She didn't even call a name. That doesn't even count.
No, yeah. I
she did.
You're just still burning over the last one.
When the host says someone's name, it's not the same.
Question number seven.
But I'm blind.
He said him.
All right. Now here's a big one. Sean, let's see how good you really are. Who has won Best Actor the most?
Best Actor?
The most.
Tom Hanks has won twice. Sean. Jack Nicholson.
No. Nope.
This is best actor, as in male.
Yes.
Yeah. Actor. Yeah. In the leading role.
No. Best dog. Yes. Actor. Male.
Well, he meant could it also be a lady? And you know, we are called actors now as well. No. Not actress.
I just want to clarify. He wasn't saying actress. It's actor.
Yes. Actor.
Yes. Actor.
Actor.
Actor. Viva.
Hmm.
Come on, guys.
I don't know this one.
All right. Well, he's current. Let's put it this way. He's been in movies within the last 10 years. Pretty big. I don't think he really does much anymore.
Oh, shit. I know
Amber?
Who it is. I know who it is now.
Sean, would you like to?
No, Amber's got to go. Everybody else has to go before I can go again.
I think it's Daniel Day-Lewis.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. He was just nominated for Phantom Thread not long ago.
He's won three times for My Left Foot, 1989, There Will Be Blood, and Lincoln.
There Will Be Blood was amazing. And I like Phantom Thread better.
He should have gotten one for Gangs of New York.
He was robbed on that one.
Piano player.
Are we on question number eight?
Or nine.
Or nine? Just call nine. What organization is responsible for the Academy Awards?
Steve.
What organization?
Steve.
The Academy of Arts and Sciences.
That is correct.
Good job.
AMPUS.
Yeah, what he said. And we'll do the final question number 10. Who was the first African American to win Best Actor?
Sean.
Sean.
Oh,
Denzel
Steve.
Washington?
Steve.
Well, hang on. Here's the button.
That is correct.
Oh, that is?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was going to say Morgan Freeman.
Check it?
No, Morgan had... No.
Build suspense there.
Didn't he get one for Shawshank?
No.
Nominated?
I think he got one for Best Supporting, though, in Driving Miss Daisy, though.
That could be.
Yeah. So.
Well, if you're still listening, we appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You've hung in there until now.
Oh, well, you missed out. All righty, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening to us. We do really do appreciate it. Just a quick big note, too, also. We are also posting some of our past episodes up on YouTube. So if you want to check out the first 10 episodes, they are up there right now. We released the first 5 last week and the second 5 today. So that means episodes 1 through 10 are up there right now for your listening and viewing pleasure.
Give them a click.
Yes. Watch the whole thing. Please do. Or just let it run in the background. Either one. So we really appreciate it. Just go to YouTube and do the search for Your Weekly Dose Podcast. And we'll pop up. I guarantee you. In the meantime, my show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose. Our Twitter and Instagram are at Your Weekly Dose 1.
Find me, Steve, at SilvaLining69. For Twitter and on Facebook, it's Steve Silva.
Zombie Mel Gibson.
That's me at Twitter and Instagram.
Zachary.
Yeah.
Zachary is Zombie Mel Gibson.
Amber is
Amber Ash McCary. Not difficult.
Yeah, not that hard.
All over the place.
And if you want to follow me, Sean, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, I made it simple for everybody. It's simply S. I'm sorry, Sean Roberts, HC. I'm reading an old thing right now. And so there you go. Enjoy today, guys. Go out and have fun. I'm going to go see my son sing with his choir. And tomorrow I'm going to watch the damn Oscars. And hopefully my favorite movies will win.
I'm going to eat wings while watching it.
I just have to say, enough is enough.
Go out, get their music.
Enough, okay?
You like
the Beatles? Enough of this.
Amber, we've had enough of you too, so don't.
Amber's eyes got so huge when she said that. Just like,
they're not the Beatles, just an incredible simulation.
They are. They're a great band. So go out, listen to them. Find them on Amazon. In the meantime, take care. Be good to each other.
Bye, world.
Listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.